They gave me kind of a difficult task today, but this will be fun. I'm hoping I can say a little bit about Africare, a little bit about resilience, and I'll get to what we do related to population dynamics, but I'll get there by way of talking about what we do for women as well, because that's a very important component of that. Africare. So Africare is an organization that started in 1970 in the Sahel, in Niger specifically. And we find that by 1971, one has the first large drought that took place in the Sahel. If you look at countries like Ghana or Benin, etc., you'll find that in 71 was the first time that the northernmost parts of their country really began to feel severe drought. So Africare's got involved in emergency responses almost immediately. And Africare's emergency response was built on, and Africare activities are built on, a strong belief that community mobilization and local capacity building and innovation are the cornerstones of successful development. And that, for us, includes resilience. What resilience for us does formally is it recognizes that the true solutions to long-term development in places that particularly are having environmental shock is to recognize that dealing with them currently is a mixture of a humanitarian response and a development response. And community engagement, capacity building, and looking at local-driven behavior and social change are what empower communities. So our approach is very much an approach that looks at the organization of the community and how the organization of the community affects what the community is doing, who the community is, and in fact, the size of the community. As we look at resilience, there are three capacities that we seek to have an effect on, and those capacities provide both short-term and long-term benefit to communities. The first one is absorptive capacity, where one works with individuals, households, and communities to first try to, if possible, reduce whatever the risk is and to better absorb the impacts of the shocks without permanent negative effects. There's adaptive capacity, which is improving the flexibility to respond to long-term change. And in some ways, most importantly, transformative capacity. That's where we find the innovations in institutional reform, behavior shifts, culture change. And it's very important because often in this area, one is seeking to have behavior and social change. So there's a strong component of behavior and social change communication that takes place with that community and helps that community to better understand where and how they may have innovation. To give you one example, we had someone who was going to speak on agriculture, so I'll give you one agricultural example. And it is an example that is working with, unusually, agropastoralists. And agropast, if you know the Sahel, agropastoralism is really the one of the biggest livelihood and lifestyle in the area. And so, of course, agropastoralists are heavily affected by drought, which affects their pattern of movement, has affected those places where they normally would be taking herds, and we're talking mostly sheep and goat, but mainly where they would be taking herds to graze, and affects grazing land. So What does one do from a resilient point of view with these populations, and what are the things these populations decide they want to do? Well, one of the big things you will find in the Sahel, and this flows from the humanitarian funding side. You know, in the United States, and in Europe, we have these two big funding streams. One is humanitarian, one is development. And if you look over the past 8 years, there has been more of an effort to try to make those parallel and synergistic. So often now when one is doing work with communities around resilience, some of the money you have comes from humanitarian sources and some comes from development. In this case, from humanitarian sources, namely cash for work, we've worked with communities to recover 2,000 plus hectares of degraded land. And that's done mainly with Zeiser half moons. I don't know whether people are familiar with what the Zeiser half moon is. It's a traditional knowledge that has been improved with modern scientific knowledge. And it goes into a degraded area and literally creates what is a half moon. And in that half moon, there's a planting of a tree, and there's a planting of some other grasses in that half moon. From a point of view of pastoralists, it provides fodder. But when there is drought, which tends to kill off the grasses, often the tree remains. So that tree in emergency times can also provide some fodder. There are portions of Niger that engaged in half moon recovery and rehabilitation of land 40 years ago that you would never know they had ever been degraded. So this is one of the humanitarian things that takes place that does really affect the rehabilitation of the environment. From development funds, we worked with that same group of farmers to plant cowpea, and we had drought-resistant cowpea, and forage sorghum. Now, the forage sorghum is something new for many of these communities. With the forage sorghum, we produced 57,000 tons of forage, was harvested and stored. What is taking place when I talk about transformative capacity is an innovation, because many of these communities who now have grown forage and packed it away now can engage in feeding their animals as opposed to just making use of grazing land. And it has affected communities, particularly in their relationship with water use, because it allows the communities to spend more time in areas where they have water available because they do have something to feed their livestock. And it has caused them to increase in semi-intensive livestock feeding, less dependency on grazing, and in last year led to we're cataloging our results from some activities that took place in 2012. There was 2011 severe drought. And we found that in 2012 that there was a decline of 14% in livestock mortality. What it is helping, the innovation it is bringing, is helping those communities who in a normal drought would sell off all their animals or all their animals would die. So that when you come back to the next year, you really have destroyed the resource base of the community. This move to semi-intensive livestock feeding has allowed them to maintain their herd through these bad periods so that it does not destroy the resource base so much. Now, a little bit on women and population dynamic. As I've said, we believe very strongly in community organization, and community decision-making. Because of that, we believe that community empowerment is increased with the use of these organizations and combining them with what we would refer to as social and behavior change communication. And in many cases, that communication is targeted. So in a number of countries in the Sahel, we have what are called husband schools. And husband schools are part of the community that is bringing new knowledge to men. It is bringing new knowledge to men particularly because when we, and in the Sahel, we tend to talk about child spacing. When we talk about child spacing, it is critically important that the men know as much or more about this than the women do, because it's often the men through whom one has to go to actually have a family consider the idea of child spacing. So the husband schools are particularly important for us. As we do those community groups, though, one of the things we are very conscious of is leadership and positions of influence. So often as we do community groups, there are cases where the community is subjected to quotas. So in Niger, for example, for the food security committees, in Niger, food security committees are required to have at least 30% of their members women. And quite often, in that situation, as well as we have other situations, we have one where we have community food distribution committees, and those community food distribution committees actually make some decisions upon how external resources will be shared among the community and create some important relationship that help community members to share among themselves at points in time. But for some of our food distribution committees, our one in Zimbabwe, in a very similar situation, requires that 80% of the members be female, because food distribution is really something that females know a whole lot more about than males. And in those situations, we are often engaged in some tutoring and some training to help the women so that they understand clearly that they are in positions of influence and positions of leadership. And we find that that helps the community to make some transitions and behavioral shifts and to adopt new innovations. That rebalancing of power that takes place as a result of the committee work has also had an effect on women's understanding of child spacing, as well as men's understanding of child spacing. The other thing I would say we do that looks somewhat at population dynamics. Of course, in the midst of the emergency, there tends to be an evaluation of children within the community, where we're looking for particularly severe acute malnourished children and moderately acute malnourished children. Now, the severe ones go into the health practice. Those that are moderate go through a 12-day program that includes the child and the mother. And during that period, there is a feeding program that is laid out for the child, and the mother is educated on many of those additional crops, educated some on cooking, preparation, etc. But there also is health education, and that health education includes an education on child spacing. So hopefully there are some ideas of an active NGO that has been working in the Sahel for about 40 years, and I would say has learned a lot about, in particular, working with the communities themselves and helping the communities to decide what for them are innovations they want to hold on to them, what for them are behavior changes that they want to make within their community. And so you will find that a fair number of them do make changes as they relate to child spacing. You also find a fair number of them make changes as it relates to their agricultural pursuits and the ability to increase the nutritious food that they're producing, both for pregnant women and for children.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.